Today we are going to be talking about the murder of 18-year-old Ashley Doolittle. This episode details Ashley's life, her relationship with her boyfriend Tanner Flores, and the events leading up to her death.
Welcome back for another deep dive with us.
Always a pleasure.
You know, today we're diving into a case that's really stuck with me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And our listeners sent us a ton of material about Ashley Doolittle.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So we've got transcripts, articles, all sorts of things about her murder.
This is going to be a heavy one, isn't it?
It is. It is. But I think what's so fascinating about this case is it's more than just a crime.
Right.
It really makes you think about relationships, warning signs, all of that.
The ripple effects.
Exactly. And I think that's what we're going to uncover today. The nuances, the characters, what makes this story so compelling.
Yeah. I think one of the things that really grabs you right away is the contrast. You have this vibrant young woman full of life,
mm-hmm.
and then this dark turn that no one could have predicted.
Absolutely. And, you know, the sources really paint this picture of Ashley before the tragedy. And I think that's really important to establish, you know.
Yeah, we need to understand who she was.
Exactly. So one of the things that comes up over and over is her love of horses.
Oh, yeah. From the moment she sat in a saddle at 5 years old, I mean, you could just tell horses were her thing.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. It wasn't just a hobby for her.
Right.
It was her lifeblood. You know, she was super involved in the rodeo scene, even served as lady in waiting.
What is that?
It's basically like an apprentice to the rodeo queen.
Oh, wow. So she was working her way up.
She had dreams of wearing that crown someday.
So ambitious.
Driven, dedicated, and talented. I mean, she was the whole package.
And it wasn't just rodeo, right?
No, she was involved in all sorts of things, 4-H, FFA, you name it.
So she was really committed to agriculture.
Oh, yeah. And get this. She'd even write these personalized notes to young girls who looked up to her.
No way.
Yeah, encouraging them to follow their dreams, a true role model.
Oh, that's sweet.
It's heartbreaking to think of the potential that was lost.
It is, and that's where things take a dark turn.
Mm.
The sources detail her relationship with Tanner Flores, her ex-boyfriend.
Right. They met in high school, seemingly a typical romance, but looking back, there were some red flags.
So you're saying even in those early days, there were warning signs?
Oh, yeah. And I think this is where we need to talk about those red flags. You know, possessiveness isn't about love.
Right.
It's about power and control.
Hmm.
The sources talk about how he'd forbid her from going to parties in college.
Wow.
Getting jealous and insecure, trying to isolate her from her friends.
That's classic controlling behavior.
It is. And it's crucial to recognize that.
Absolutely. And it's clear from the sources that even after Ashley broke up with him, he couldn't let go.
No, he was relentless. I mean, bombarding her with texts, desperate pleas, even a message where he said, "I'm going to do something stupid now. Bye."
Ooh, that's chilling.
It is. That's a clear warning sign and tragically foreshadowed what was to come.
Yeah, this is where the story gets really dark.
Mm.
Sources lay out this timeline leading up to the murder, and it starts with Tanner borrowing his father's gun.
Mm. Claiming he needed it to decompress.
But in hindsight,
it's hard not to see that as premeditated.
Right. And he continued to pursue Ashley, even though she clearly wanted space.
She was trying to move on.
And eventually they met up at this place called Lon Hegler Reservoir.
It's supposed to just be a conversation.
We all know how that ended.
Yeah, meeting at a reservoir.
And this is where everything comes to a head. Tanner claims she promised to marry him someday.
Mm-hmm.
Though we'll never know if that's true.
Right.
What we do know is that shortly after that alleged promise, Ashley was dead.
Shot multiple times in the head.
It's just horrifying. And it makes you wonder about his state of mind. Was this premeditated like the gun borrowing suggests?
Right, right.
Or was it a crime of passion, you know, reacting to this promise and then feeling like it was ripped away?
It's hard to say for sure.
We'll delve more into the legal arguments later. But I think for now, let's just focus on what happened next. Because believe it or not, it gets even more disturbing.
Oh, no.
Instead of calling for help or turning himself in, Tanner tries to cover up the crime.
Oh, wow.
And his actions were calculated. He cleaned the scene, drove Ashley's body across the state, even texted himself from her phone to create a false alibi.
He was trying to get away with it.
It wasn't just panic. It was deliberate.
Yeah, that manipulation, the lack of remorse. It's a whole other layer of this tragedy.
It really is a level of cold calculation that's hard to comprehend.
It is. And that behavior is going to play a huge role in the investigation and trial, which we'll get to in just a moment.
Okay, before we get into that, though, I want to talk more about Ashley.
Mm.
You know, we touched on her love of rodeo, her involvement in 4-H and FFA.
Mm.
But what else did you learn about her from the sources?
What really struck me was how much her story resonated with the community.
Oh, yeah.
Remember those personalized notes she wrote to young girls?
Mm-hmm.
Well, after her death, those notes became a symbol of her kindness. And the impact she had on those around her, people started sharing stories about her, how she always had a smile, how she was always willing to lend a hand.
It sounds like she truly touched the lives of everyone she met.
Absolutely. And that's something we need to remember amidst all the darkness of this case.
Yeah.
Ashley was more than just a victim. She was a light in her community. A young woman full of potential who was tragically taken too soon.
It's a powerful reminder that we need to celebrate the lives of those we lose, not just focus on the circumstances of their death.
Exactly. And now with that in mind, let's dive into the investigation and see how law enforcement started piecing together the events of that fateful day. So when Ashley disappeared, it really sent shockwaves through the whole community.
Yeah, you can imagine the fear.
Right. Everyone was on edge. I mean, her family, her friends, even strangers were out searching desperately trying to find her.
I can only imagine. And the sources, they really captured that sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone was hoping for the best, but...
But fearing the worst. And as the hours turned into days, those fears started to grow.
Yeah. And it seems like a key turning point in the investigation was the discovery of Tanner's truck.
Right. One of the local news reports you provided mentioned that his truck was found on his grandfather's property.
Okay. And that's where things take an even darker turn.
Yeah. There was a witness who reported seeing Tanner disposing of bloody rags.
Oh my gosh. Bloody rags. That's just...
Chilling, right? It was a horrifying realization for everyone involved.
Yeah, this wasn't just a missing persons case anymore.
Exactly. And tragically, their worst fears were confirmed when Ashley's body was found.
Where did they find her?
She was wrapped in a blanket in the backseat of Tanner's truck.
It's just devastating to think about what her family must have been going through at that moment.
It's truly unimaginable losing a child in such a horrific way.
And as the investigation continued, Tanner's story started to unravel.
Mm-hmm. Initially, he tried to blame Ashley.
What do you mean?
He claimed that she had shot herself first.
Oh, wow. So he was trying to paint himself as the victim.
Exactly. But his story didn't hold up under scrutiny.
What happened?
Well, he eventually confessed to the murder.
Oh, wow.
But even then, he tried to minimize his actions.
How so?
He claimed it was a mercy killing. You know, saying he shot her multiple times to end her suffering.
It's almost like he was trying to rewrite the narrative, even after committing such a horrific act.
You're right. It's a pattern we see often in cases like this. Perpetrators trying to control the story, deflect blame, avoid taking responsibility.
It's really disturbing. But thankfully, investigators saw through his lies. What kind of evidence did they have that this wasn't a suicide or a mercy killing like he claimed?
Well, the sources outlined the prosecution's argument for first-degree murder, and they had a strong case for premeditation.
Okay, how so?
Remember how Tanner borrowed his father's gun, saying he needed to decompress?
Yeah.
That became a key piece of evidence suggesting he had planned this in advance.
Right. And the location of the murder Lawnhagler Reservoir, that's a pretty secluded spot, isn't it?
Exactly. And that isolation further supports the premeditation argument. It suggests he had thought about where he would commit this crime.
It wasn't just a random act of violence.
Right. And then there's the fact that Ashley was shot multiple times.
Yeah, the autopsy revealed that, right?
Yes, and the prosecution pointed out that Tanner had to manually cock the revolver between each shot.
So it wasn't just firing in a blind rage.
No, each shot was a deliberate act.
So the prosecution had a pretty strong case with the gun. The location, the multiple shots, it all pointed to premeditation. But what about the defense? What was their argument?
Well, they tried to paint a different picture, arguing that the murder was a crime of passion.
So they were saying it was an impulsive act driven by his emotions.
Exactly. They argued that he was so overwhelmed by grief and rejection that he wasn't thinking clearly.
So basically the classic broken heart defense.
In a sense, yes. They tried to downplay the premeditation, emphasizing the intensity of his feelings for Ashley.
Did they have any evidence to support that claim?
They pointed to his testimony where he claimed that Ashley had glared at him before he shot her.
A glare.
Yeah, they argued that this glare was the trigger, a final rejection that sent him over the edge.
So they were trying to portray it as a heat of the moment kind of thing rather than a planned attack. Did the jury buy it?
They didn't. The prosecution's case for premeditation was too strong. But before we get to the verdict, I think there's one more aspect of this case. We need to talk about something I know you found particularly disturbing.
You're talking about his behavior after the murder, right?
Yeah. The sources mentioned something about him watching cartoons.
Watching cartoons after killing Ashley?
Yes. It's a chilling detail that really highlights the psychological complexity of this case.
It's almost impossible to comprehend how someone could act so casually after such a horrific act.
It's a jarring contrast, and it raises so many questions. Was it a coping mechanism? Denial? A desperate attempt to cling to some semblance of normalcy? It's hard to say for sure.
It's one of those details that just sticks with you.
It does, and it speaks to the fact that even with all the evidence, all the legal arguments, we may never fully understand the darkness that led to this tragedy.
So despite the defense's argument, the jury ultimately rejected the idea of a crime of passion.
Yes, they saw through his attempts to minimize his actions.
What was the verdict?
After careful deliberation, the jury found Tanner Flores guilty of first-degree murder.
Wow.
And second-degree kidnapping.
Kidnapping? I don't think we talked about that. What was that charge based on?
Yeah. That stemmed from the belief that he had prevented Ashley from leaving his vehicle during their final encounter at Lawnhagler Reservoir.
So it was about him controlling her movements.
Exactly. And it adds another layer of complexity to the case.
Yeah.
You know, highlighting the fact that Ashley wasn't just a victim of a single act of violence.
Right. She was subjected to a series of controlling and ultimately fatal actions by Tanner.
Exactly. And that's going to play a role in his sentencing, which we'll discuss when we come back. So with the guilty verdict on both counts, the judge had a tough decision to make.
Yeah. I mean, what kind of sentence do you give for a crime like this?
Well, in Colorado, first-degree murder carries a mandatory sentence of life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Wow, so no chance of ever getting out.
No. And in addition to the life sentence for the murder, he also received 32 years for the second-degree kidnapping.
32 years on top of a life sentence.
Exactly. It really highlights the severity of his actions, the lasting consequences.
It's a stark reminder that some things can't be undone.
Absolutely. And, you know, reading through the transcripts from the sentencing hearing,
yeah.
It was just raw emotion. Ashley's parents delivered these incredibly powerful victim impact statements.
I can't even imagine having to stand there and face the person who took your child away.
It must have been excruciating. And the sources really captured the depth of their grief, the sense of loss that words can hardly express.
Did they talk about Ashley specifically?
Mm-hmm.
You know what they'll miss most about her?
They did. Ashley's mother spoke about wanting her daughter to be remembered for the life she lived, not the way she died.
That's so powerful.
It is. She talked about Ashley's smile, her kindness, her spirit. She wanted everyone to know that Ashley was more than just a victim.
She was a person with dreams and aspirations.
Exactly. And her life was tragically cut short.
It's a reminder that we should cherish every moment with the people we love.
Absolutely. And, you know, it wasn't just Ashley's family who felt this loss. The entire community was impacted.
Right. Everyone who knew her.
And in response, they came together to create something positive out of this tragedy.
What did they do?
They established a foundation in Ashley's name.
Really?
Yeah. It provides scholarships to young people pursuing agricultural studies, something Ashley was passionate about.
Oh, wow. That's a beautiful way to honor her memory.
And they also organize an annual memorial rodeo event celebrating her love for the sport.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So even in her absence, Ashley's legacy continues to inspire.
Absolutely. She may be gone, but she's certainly not forgotten.
And I think that's what's so important to remember here. You know, amidst all the darkness of this case,
right,
there's also this incredible outpouring of love and support.
And a commitment to keeping her memory alive.
Exactly. And, you know, while we've covered a lot of ground today, there's one thing I want to circle back to. You know, you specifically flagged this article about recognizing the warning signs of abusive relationships.
Yeah, that's a crucial takeaway from this case.
It really is, because it's so easy to overlook those red flags, you know, dismiss them as harmless quirks or just signs of passion.
And Ashley's story tragically demonstrates just how dangerous those red flags can be.
It's a reminder that we need to be vigilant, not just for ourselves, but for our friends and loved ones too.
Absolutely. If you see something, say something, it's better to be safe than sorry.
That's so true. And, you know, the article also emphasized the importance of seeking help if you're in an abusive situation.
Right. There are resources available, hotlines, shelters, support groups. You don't have to suffer in silence.
It's a message we need to keep repeating. You're not alone. There is help out there.
Exactly. And I think that's a good place to leave it for today.
This deep dive has been incredibly insightful, but also incredibly heavy.
It is a case that stays with you.
Ashley's story is a powerful reminder that we need to cherish the people in our lives. Be aware of the warning signs and speak up if we see something wrong.
And to remember that even in the face of tragedy, there is always hope for healing and for change.
That's a beautiful message to end on. And to you, our listener, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We know it was a tough one, but we hope it sparks some important conversations.
And a renewed commitment to making a difference.
If you or someone you know needs help, please reach out. There are resources available.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the life of Ashley Doolittle. Even though her life was cut short, her family wishes that she would be remembered for the good she did and to carry on her dreams. Until next time, everyone be safe and watch out for others as well as yourself.